CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
James Van Fleet said, "Always think in terms of what the other person wants." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who think in terms of their customer. Our first playmaker began his restaurant career washing pots and pans. Our next playmaker's company has designed and implemented some of the world's most successful loyalty programs. With us today is the CEO of a company that has one brand growing from Texas east and the second brand growing from the southeast to Texas. Well, our next CEO has driven double-digit growth at his company. These great playmakers are Tim Tafts. Tim is CEO of Fiesta Restaurant Group Incorporated. And Jim Sturm. Jim is CEO of Brierley & Partners. We'll begin today's show with Jim. Our guest is Jim Sturm. Jim is the president and CEO of Brierley & Partners. He joined in 2007. He leads a globally recognized company in loyalty and CRM marketing. Brierley & Partners is a pioneer relationship management, advancing loyalty and CRM for more than 25 years. The company has designed and implemented some of the world's most successful loyalty and CRM programs for clients such as GameStop, Hard Rock, Hertz, Bridgestone, and 7-Eleven. Jim's reputation for creating industry differentiating lifetime loyalty programs for his clients has driven double-digit growth at Brierley. All services focus on a single mission: making clients' customer relationships dramatically more profitable. Well, Jim, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Well, we're going to talk about the background of the company, which is interesting. But first question, how does listening to the customer fit within your loyalty and CRM programs?
You know, the work we do, and you captured the essence of it very well, as we work with really large brands, helping them understand their customers, the motivational behaviors of their customers, with the ultimate goal of creating advocates who are loyal to the brand, who will ultimately advocate more, will purchase more, will visit more. And listening to the customer is a critical component from the first time we begin working with our clients. I like to say that we're very smart when it comes to loyalty. We know all the watch-outs, the gotchas, the nuances of these programs. And our clients are very smart about their business. So we think we have answers, but you don't know until you talk to the end customer. So listening to the customer involves focus groups. It involves online quantitative research, but it's very important when you have good ideas to do research. Ask the customer, will in fact, if I do this kind of a program, will you visit more? Will you spend more? Will you advocate with my brand more?
What is it you actually do?
So what I do personally is have the exciting chance to run a company of 300 employees. What the company does is, as you articulated, we work very closely with large brands, helping them understand their customer and helping them motivate their customers' behaviors. It's a thrilling opportunity. I started my career at Electronic Data Systems back in the mid-1980s, so right out of school, and didn't know a lot about the business world, but certainly knew a lot in terms of confidence about myself. And I went from an extremely large company, led by some fantastic leaders, to a mid-sized company where you have a great opportunity to know the individuals, form relationships with the individuals, and know our clients very well.
Well, you've been with the company since 2007, but the company was founded back in 1985. Give us a little background on the history of the company.
So it's a great story. Founded by an individual by the name of Hal Brierley. I call Hal the father of loyalty. He was there in the beginning days before the word loyalty or rewards was understood.
If I remember correctly, that was kind of the beginning. It started happening about mid-80s, but he was on the forefront of it.
Exactly. That's why I call him the father of the industry. Hal worked with some of these American Airlines and Hertz and Hilton. And some of the programs that, if you will remember, were the first to market. And he was ingenious in terms of understanding that Product is important, but relationships with a customer is even more important. So he started these programs where, again, all about strategically understanding and working with clients to understand their customer and how to create loyalty and rewards programs as we see them today.
Well, didn't the business begin with the travel segment?
Yes, very much so. It's actually, if you really think back, the business began with green stamps.
That goes back a ways.
That goes way back. So if you think about green stamps, and I remember it well, I'd be young and my mom would go to the store and come home with green stamps and I'd put them in the book. And when you got to a certain level of green stamps, you could send in and redeem for some kitchenware product or something like that. So that's really way back when this loyalty industry began. The first to do it in a more structured way were the travel transportation. And Hal tells a wonderful story about working with Hertz, because when he started working with Hertz, he would actually listen to the customer, and he would talk to the customer, and their best customers obviously are the business person that's frequently traveling. So he or she may be going to Tulsa, Oklahoma every week, and they would land, and they'd go up to the Hertz counter, and the person behind the Hertz counter did not know who they were. And this is a tired traveler who travels every week and just wants to get to their car. So loyalty wasn't about giving them a hat or some, you know, $5 off a rental, because most likely the company was paying for the rental anyways. They wanted to get off the airplane, get to the hotel, and when they got home, they wanted the experience to be as fast. So it was about speed, and it was about efficiency, and it was about not waiting in line. So that was ingenious at the time. But yes, it began in the travel transportation industry, and that's when programs were seen to be, okay, we can listen to the customer, we can understand what's most important to them and create that customer experience, which will in fact gain the loyalty. So if you would be recognized by Hertz as a best customer, we're getting you past the line quickly, getting you into your car fast, you're going to come back. You're not going to go to a competitor.
And it's interesting how Hertz has changed the industry, because back in the day, it took a long time to drop your car off, get back to the airport. Now it's immediate, and all the other companies have followed with what Hertz started doing.
Yeah, it's, you know, the business world is amazing. All the other companies have followed. So part of the challenge for Hertz has been to differentiate themselves continuously. Loyalty programs can differentiate yourself. And in today's world, where digital disruption with companies like an Uber, it really continually that challenge exists. How do you differentiate yourself? But it's all about the customer. It really is all about your customer and the experience that they have with the brand.
So your company must do a lot of research.
We do
on the specific clients you're working with.
Yeah, we do a tremendous amount of research, research both on the company and research with customers.
Well, you have some interesting software, too, don't you, that helps put all this together, that you've branded yourself.
Yeah, so back to the history of the company, when Hal started the company back in the mid-'80s, it started as a consulting company, and then he started to do creative in terms of how do you message these programs, both from art and copy. And then over time, data became even more important. So the world of today, consumer data is critical for any business today. And in fact, it has become, in my opinion, the biggest judgment of the value of a company is the insight they have into their customer. So consumer data is critically important. And so therefore, technologies, database management technologies, and technologies that help you personalize an experience with a customer have become a critical component of our portfolio of capabilities.
It's amazing how far that has come. So you work you've developed the software to figure out exactly what the customers are doing and help build on that for the company. Is that correct?
Yes. So our technology products and our database systems essentially are there to understand customer behavior. And we call it 360-degree behavior, because it's not just purchase data. It is also, you may visit the store, you may check in, you may be an advocate in social media. We ask customers to take surveys and fill out profile information, tell us more and more and more about ourselves. So once you have this well-rounded, complete view of the customer, you then can personalize the experience. So it isn't about being creepy. It isn't about trying to figure out a customer. And it's really more about trying to make the experience a personalized experience. I love to draw the equation to the TV show Cheers. And George would walk into the TV show at Cheers, and everyone knew his name, knew what he liked to drink, knew what he was most likely to like next. And everyone there knew him. So you felt like you were part of a family. He loved the brand. He wouldn't go to another bar because the experience there was fantastic. I'm sure they never gave him a free beer. I'm sure they never had to do anything that, in fact, aggregated their sales. In fact, it increased their sales because it was an experience that he loved.
And the word keeps coming up is the experience.
Yes.
And that's the differentiator. What's the kind, the typical kind of company you like working with?
So traditionally, it's been very large companies. Hertz. When you think of our Hertz, you think of the companies that we've worked with, GameStop. They're very large industry leaders who have large consumer bases. But more and more, the industry is evolving. So now the consumer packaged goods industry is very interested in loyalty. The healthcare industry is going to be extremely interesting. What's happening in the United States with healthcare? These companies are really going to have to try to figure out how to treat us as customers and make the experience a pleasing experience. That industry overwhelms us with information about programs. We tend to not even look at it, and we wait till the event happens in our lives when we need to rely on our healthcare provider. The experience needs to be changed, and we need to be treated as customers that are respected.
We're speaking with Jim Sturm. Jim is the president and CEO of Brierley and Partners, and the website is brierley.com. It's Brierley. Question for you, without giving you out any trade secrets or company secrets, we have a number of people listening. If you were to talk to a company about loyalty, what would you suggest they do to increase customer loyalty?
The first thing they need to do is understand the journey, the customer journey that a customer takes engaging with their brand. In today's world, let's take a retailer, for example. People don't typically run to the mall and go look for something. They happen to go online first and search. And they happen to also talk to people at the soccer field and their friends and look and talk to people across social media. So you need to understand this customer journey a individual consumer takes when they engage with your brand. It starts with where they're thinking and searching and really contemplating a purchase decision. And the path that they take when they're contemplating that decision is as critical as the in-store experience. So I would first talk to customers about really understanding their consumer and the journey their consumer takes, which ultimately ends up in a purchase, and then focuses on satisfaction, advocacy, and repeat visits and repeat purchases.
And we were talking before the show started about the fact that this is the new frontier, the customer loyalty and the experience. What's next for you and your business? Because you were purchased a few months ago.
Yes.
Where are you going? What's next for Brierley and Partners?
So I think there's two fronts to that. We were purchased by a Tokyo-based company called Nomura Research. And they had the wisdom and the foresight to see that the loyalty customer relationship database industry is more mature here in the United States than it is globally. I love to say that there's some things here in the U.S. we're ahead at, and there's some things we're far behind at. And I can go on and on about both sides. But so we were purchased by Nomura with a perspective that internationally this industry is going to grow. So we're seeing as a company expansion globally is a major initiative for us. The second initiative is technology expansion. I think that the concept of digital disruption is something you need to be consciously aware of. And it's really digital disruption. People think it's just some technology product that's better. But it's not just technology product. It's actually technology product and business model. So your business model may be, in fact, a very different business model also. Uber is a dramatic example of both. So we are going to make technology advancements in terms of our product and the customer experience that we're able to personalize for our customers. So both are happening very quickly for us.
So it sounds like you are prepared for the future going globally with customer loyalty.
Yeah, but prepared is a strong word. We are working hard, and I think one thing that I will tell you is that we are prepared from a vision perspective, and we are preparing ourselves from a technology perspective, and I say that because we're finding the opportunities are even stronger than we had anticipated. So right now we've got a tremendous amount of opportunity on our plate for growing this business globally. And it's fascinating also being acquired by a Tokyo-based firm, a Japanese firm. Culturally, their perspective is very long-term planning. So we're also working heavily with them on terms of a vision for 2022.
So tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about the company.
So find out more about the company by visiting our website at brierley.com and reaching out to anyone in the company. We love to visit and have conversations, and we're available, but essentially start with our website.
Jim, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Jim Sturm is the president and CEO of Brierley & Partners. Don't go away. We have more. We're going to talk Taco Cabana, and we're going to talk Pollo Tropical with the CEO of the Fiesta Restaurant Group Incorporated. That's Tim Taft. We'll be back with Tim right after this.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're going to talk, fast food this segment. Fiesta Restaurant Group President and CEO Tim Taft joined the company in August of 2011 to spin it off from Carroll's Restaurant Group, forming a separate publicly traded company in order to operate the Taco Cabana and Pollo Tropical brands. Both brands have celebrated record gains as one of the fastest growing restaurant companies in the nation in 2014. Fiesta launched its third brand, Cabana Grill, created by Taco Cabana in Atlanta. Now, Tim is a restaurant and hospitality veteran with more than 35 years' experience as a successful operator, marketer, brand builder, and franchisor within the industry. Prior to joining Fiesta, Tim was president and CEO of Grandy's and served in the same capacity at Pizza Inn. During his tenure at Whataburger, the chain achieved 44 quarters in a row of same-store sales increases. It was named a Texas treasure by the Texas legislature and Nation's Restaurants News Hot Again concept. A lot to talk about. Tim, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Hello, Steve.
You have an interesting background, but you started out washing pots and pans for Burns Steakhouse in Tampa. So how does a person washing pots and pans end up running restaurant franchises out of Texas?
Well, I'm one of 11 kids, and we only went out for dinner for one time a year, and that was on my mom's birthday, November 6th. And so all 11 kids and mom and dad went to Burns, and we were in the main dining room sitting at the big table, and people thought that we were the Von Trapp family, and then we sang happy birthday to mom, and dad said, "You want to meet Burn?" So absolutely. So because his office was so famous, we went, we got up. And dad said, "No, he's here." And I thought we were going to meet him. He said, "You are." And we walked into the kitchen, and there was the old man standing behind a big plate of onions, chopping them. And I said, "What are you doing in the kitchen?" And he pointed this big old blade at me, and he said, "Son, the magic begins in the kitchen." And that stuck with me. And then I got a job washing pots there. I was considered good at it, so I got promoted to dishes a couple of weeks later.
Was that the beginning of your restaurant career?
It was. And I think that there's something about the hospitality business that gets underneath your skin. And I think to a man or woman in the industry, they'll tell you that that's exactly something that happens, that it becomes a part of you, and it's something that you can make a long-time career out of.
Well, you spent 10 years with Whataburger. Helped it become very successful. You have now taken over a new company, Fiesta Restaurant Group, with Pollo Tropical coming to Texas and Taco Cabana. But let me go back to Whataburger for a moment. What turned it around? What caused 44 record quarters? Was it record same-store quarters in a row where sales increased? What did you put into to help turn it around?
Well, I think it started there was a former CEO that had been in place for 20 years, and I think it's fair to everybody to say that the last 10 years he was in place, there hadn't been any innovation, that the company was stuck in where it was. Tom Dobson, who was the founder's son, stepped into the CEO role, and I was one of the first hires that they brought from the outside, initially in marketing. And my role really was to try to energize the brand. It really begins, Steve, with the greatest product on the planet, And when it's hamburgers, there's nothing better than a Whataburger. To this day, it's still my favorite. But I think what we did is we made it relevant again by pointing out these are why everybody loves it. This is why you love Whataburger, the fact that it's fresh, that it's 100% American beef that's never frozen. I haven't worked there in a long time, and I still know it. But what we did is one by one by one, we took every element of the business and made it relevant once again. And the product and the strength of the product really just took care of itself.
Well, let's go to Fiesta Restaurant Group, because you turned it, you began the company after it was spun off from Carrols, and you now have two and now beginning a third brand. Are you going to begin to do the same types of things for these brands?
Well, I think if, you know, in the last 4 years, if you go back, you'd see that we've done exactly, you know, the recipe for success, no pun intended, is really the same, and it has been at Whataburger, it is with these brands. And the restaurant business, unlike some people will have you believe, is a very, very simple business. And there are a number of things that you need to make sure that you do. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. And with Taco Cabana, it was a brand that was 34 years old that hadn't had any money spent on it in decades. So all of them have been remodeled. Make sure that the food's consistent. Make sure that it's accurate. Make sure that it's as it's intended. Make sure the place is clean and people are hospitable. Those are the fundamental building blocks of any successful company. Taco Cabana needed that. And now that those things were 4 years later, you take a snapshot and it's never performed better than it is now. A lot of credit to the operating team there. But Pollo Tropical is a once-in-a-generation kind of brand. I took the job for two reasons. One, because at Taco Cabana, I went to over 100 restaurants and never had the same experience twice, but they still had an unbelievable average unit volumes. I went to Pollo Tropical, which was the highest average unit volume anywhere in the nation, and I never had chicken that wasn't dry. And I thought, wow, if we just fix those two things, good things will happen to us.
Well, we were talking before, I've been to Pollo Tropical when I was in Miami. And for those listening, once the Pollo Tropical is hit in Dallas-Fort Worth, you need to try it because you'll keep going back. Taco Cabana, to me, is very similar to Whataburger. The customers just love those places, and they keep going back again. And you are opening Pollo Tropical in the DFW area. How many are you opening, and when are those going to really hit?
Well, we started a year and a half ago with our first one on Beltline, and at the end of last month in December, we had 12 in DFW. You'll see us, we have now 25 in the state of Texas. We'll add probably another 15 or 20 in Texas this year. The rest will be in Florida and Atlanta and in Tennessee. But I think the one of the things that you mentioned, and I think it's a great observation, and that is Taco Cabana being similar to Whataburger, and that the customers are very cult-like, that they've grown up with the brand. And at Taco Cabana, you know, we're serving third-generation fans. And, you know, Taco is – well, Whataburger, I should say. Whataburger is 65 years old and still an unbelievable icon.
Well, it seems like Pollo Tropical is a lot like Taco Cabana in Florida, because when I went there, I was told it was the best fast food restaurant to go to.
The thing that our customers say about Pollo Tropical is that I can't believe I got that much quality food for that little amount of money. And when you go to our restaurants in Miami and in Dade, Broward, Palm Beach that have been around the longest, if, you know, in the scheme of things, if you take a look at the restaurant industry, an average unit volume of 1 million is a very good volume. 2 million is unbelievable. The average unit volume in South Florida for Pollo Tropical is over 3 million. This year, there were 11 restaurants down in South Florida that did 4 million. And those are only open for lunch and dinner. So you can't imagine the volume that goes through those restaurants. And to put it in perspective, a couple of our restaurants do over 500 cars a day through the drive-through. So that's a populace that love that brand.
Well, it's obvious it's going to have a lot of success in Texas. Now, you're moving Pollo Tropical from the southeast west. You're moving Taco Cabana East. But you've also developed a new brand based on Taco Cabana. Talk about Cabana Grill.
Well, it's interesting. Cabana Grill is a brand that prior to I even being hired was something that the company thought that we needed. And we thought that that needed to be the new growth vehicle for the brand because Taco Cabana was seen at the time as passé, circling the drain. Not a whole lot of new news, and same-store sales continued to dwindle. It was circling the drain. So the wisdom was we need to create something unlike Taco Cabana outside of that we can grow outside of Texas. In fact, over the last 4 years, Taco Cabana now has turned into such a powerhouse that the need for a secondary brand to run as a secondary brand is no longer necessary. So Cabana Grill taught us a lot. But when you see us growing outside of Texas, you're going to see, you know, the 38-year history and equity of Taco Cabana being used outside of Texas. Cabana Grill is a test kitchen, but Taco Cabana is the future.
Well, you have, I believe, over 250 outlets for Taco Cabana and Pollo Tropical. What's the potential and what do you look for in franchisee?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we're growing so quickly right now, and I think that we've got right now, well, about 320 restaurants domestically between the two brands, and they're all corporate-owned. So with franchisees, we have one franchisee, Mel Sloan, at Albuquerque, who does the best job of any franchisee that I've been around. Very, very successful. We currently aren't franchising, except for non-traditional domestic franchising like airports or, you know, sporting venues, something like that. But I think what you'll see in the future, or more importantly, before you see any franchising, you're going to see these two brands have to get established, the economic models be established for both of the brands, certainly for the new Taco Cabana in some of the areas that we're going to be growing. Pollo Tropical needs to get established. And then when we find that the brand works, the building works, the menu works, then you'll see us then start talking to perhaps some domestic franchisees. But until then, we still have some work to do.
Well, from talking to you before the show started and even listening to you as we've done this interview, you came out of retirement to take over Fiesta Restaurant Group. But just in the way you're coming across, you almost feel like this is you're having more fun doing this than some of the jobs you had in the past.
This is by far the best gig I've ever had. I loved Whataburger. I loved the entire time I was there. We did a lot of great things. I'm very, very proud of that brand and the Dobson family. But this is the greatest job I've ever had. We were talking earlier, and you said it seems like it's kind of a startup, even though it's really not. And you're right. Pollo is 28 years old, and Taco is 38 years old. But in all the important measurements, this company, both brands, are between 4 and 5 years old. They're startups. They're brand new cultures.
So for people that wants to find out about them, what are the websites they can go to?
Well, you can go to frgi.com. That's Fiesta Restaurant Group Incorporated, frgi.com. And from there, you'll be able to go to click into tacocabana.com or pollotropical.com.
And they're also on our website, too. Tim, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Tim Taft is CEO of Fiesta Restaurant Group Incorporated. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, thank you to our guests, Jim Sturm, the CEO of Brierley & Partners. Again, Tim Taft, CEO of Fiesta Restaurant Group. This has been a terrific show. Thank you all very much for joining us. Join us at playmakerstalkshow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.